Okay, we're going to call the February 12th, 2020, council meeting. It's starting at 5:33. With a call to order, we have Connie Breeze telephonically. We have Mike Shields in-house, Don Greiner, Mike Harper, myself, Daniel Richer. We do have a quorum. We please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Okay, so we really don't have any added agenda items tonight, but we do have a little agenda shuffle. We're going to move our audit report, which is number 8, up to number 4 or 4.5, just before our public comments, because we need to connect telephonically with our auditor, and he has another meeting. So can we do that?
Just so you know, for the council, Brenda Bartlett is here also. She is our CPA, and so she'll be able to answer any questions you may have also.
Hello, this is Steve.
Hello, Steve. This is the council meeting in La Pine, and we were informed you have like an audit for us or a report.
I would love to present to you guys the audit for 2018-19.
Thank you so very much. Go ahead.
Can you hear me well enough, first of all?
Yes, we can hear you just fine.
Okay, good.
If you're
right. I'm on the road, so I'm pulling over right this very second, and I'll pull up the report here so I can speak without being too generic. First of all, this city's audit went very well, as it has in the past several years since we've been working with Brenda and you guys. And I can tell you that without fail, the books were as pristine as can be. There wasn't really any adjustments that were necessary. And what I think is so uniquely special about what you guys have going on there is that you've engaged Brenda, you know, a qualified CPA, to really just do a monthly monitoring of the books, make sure the accounts are reconciled, and doing all of the things that, unfortunately, an awful lot of times other cities around the state that I audit, they don't do what you guys are doing, and they pay for it in ways that aren't so obvious as a price tag, as a cost to a CPA firm, but they pay for it in that they don't necessarily have reliable financial information throughout the year. My hat's off to you guys, and I would certainly encourage you to continue with that relationship. It is, well, I wish I could explain to you just how bad accounting can get when you don't have somebody like that. That's not to say anything bad about the rest of your staff. That's just to say that even people who are well-trained at managing an awful lot of other things, if they don't understand the full set of accounts that are involved in financial reporting, and more to the point with these financial statements that we have to audit, they go well beyond the budgetary amounts and get rather complicated in that there are full accrual adjustments, the accounting for the capital assets and the debt, making sure that those balances are reflecting accurate estimates in the case of capital assets and accurate debt balances in the case of long-term debt. Some of the more complicated things involve reporting on, in you guys' case, you don't have a PERS, so I'll step around that one, but other liabilities that can crop up and other assets that have to be accounted for, like assessments receivables and other loans receivables and loans payable. So anyway, the good news is that you guys have done a great job of keeping Brenda and her company engaged, and again, I would encourage you to continue to do so. Is there any questions about any of that that I can answer at this point?
Are there any questions from the council?
Not at
this point.
All right. So in terms of the financial statements themselves, I can go through some of the numbers if you'd like. Pretty much speaks for itself. It is a rather complex document in that there are those reports that are full accrual basis versus the reports that are on what we call modified accrual basis. But I don't necessarily want to waste your guys' time with going over a bunch of details that aren't necessarily meaningful or useful to you at this point. But just know that the financial statements as they are presented in this report are without material misstatement. There are no reporting errors in here. How much would you guys like to hear from me in terms of any financial details, a review of the numbers or anything like that?
I've gone through the audit report, and I don't think that, I don't understand it all, don't misunderstand, but it appears to me like we're a pretty good financial state.
I would absolutely concur. You guys have a very healthy financial position. And as you well know, the city is growing, and there are a lot of different projects happening there that are partly a reflection of a super healthy economy, but also, I think, a reflection of you guys and your dedication to the city and having good staff that are just continuing to do, as far as I'm concerned, great work over there. So, I don't necessarily do a comparative of all of the cities in the state to put you guys at number 2 or number 10 or whatever, but you certainly have a very healthy financial position. And that's it's a very nice place to be at this point in time. So, any other questions or things I can answer?
No, it's just fine. Thank you so much.
All right, you're very welcome. And I don't mean to make it brief, but I sure don't need to spend a bunch of time yakking. So. If that's sufficient for you guys, then just know that you have good things going on there in terms of your staff and the accounting that's going on, and the audit went very well. I will leave it at that.
Well, if we have any questions, we can still contact you and get answers, can't we?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
Okay.
Anytime.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right. Have a great evening, and I guess I want to just add a thank you to all of the councilors and the mayor for your time volunteering. You certainly owe it to yourselves to give yourself a round of applause for the rather thankless work that you do sometimes being on the, involved with the city. And I certainly thank you for that.
Yeah, no worries. That's what they pay us for.
We won't include a tip for that either.
Get some more cakes and cookies and stuff and eat them up, anybody.
Thank you so much. You have a great evening.
All right, you guys too. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So bye-bye.
Bye.
Was there any presentation from Brenda?
I don't know. She was just going to answer any questions from my... no, I mean, unless you have questions for her, I think right on, we do have excellent accountant. Brenda's great, and she does a good job for us.
All right, so we're going to call that a day on our audit report. We're going to move to public comments. I would remind anybody that has a public comment, if they would please fill out a comment form and give it to our clerk. We'll get you in the order that you filled it out. Let's see. We're going to allow 3 minutes apiece is the most for our comments. And our first commenter is Terry Myers.
Hello, City Council. I'm Terry Myers. I'm a resident of the City of Lapine, and I'm here to speak to your agenda point 10, which is to extend the length of time on the permit for Frontier Days. They've requested an extension, and I want to speak to it in two ways. First of all, I was involved with Lapine Park and Recreation District's examination of final outcome of the fact that they had no water on the land that is adjacent to Frontier Days. And 6 years ago, we issued a letter to that effect that there was no wetlands on their property, and it sits right adjacent to where we are looking at this situation now, and what has delayed the process of us finishing the work to be able to get the permit for conditional use. And so at this point, I would like to just mention the fact that when an organization applies for a permit and they have a certain timeline involved, like Frontier Days has, and they go to the big guns, they go to the engineers, they take the steps that they are supposed to take, and then they're presented with somebody who has no experience in adjudicating what is being seen on the property and asks for an extension herself in order to be able to make a decision about such wetlands, because she's unable to, from looking and from an expensive report that has been given to her from an engineering firm who is notably the best engineering firm for that kind of situation in all of the state and maybe the Northwest. It just seems very silly that because we have to wait until the snow thaws and the water tables go through a whole complete season, that we were not able to finish all of the work that needed to be done in order for you to make Frontier Days cannot move forward without that. And I believe that it's in every part of my being. I know what you're going to find. It's going to coincide with the engineer's report that we had before the state lands came out and took a look at it. We need to consider giving this extension and forever how long it takes for this process to work through the new person that is in that position that came out to do the examination and determination of the wetlands. So please consider giving us the extension for Frontier Days. They've requested this extension, and I am praying with every fiber of my being that you are logical about this. Use my emotion as part of your decision making tonight in my wishes for a good outcome for Frontier Days. That's an important piece of property. We need to have an events property here inside the city limits. It's the place that we're going to be able to do many, many things, and to have the use permit that we need to continue and grow this organization's ideas and dreams. it's all up to you. You are the ones that can make this happen, and I am praying that you will let that happen, and thank you very much. I'm out.
Thank you so much. Okay, our next public commenter is Mark Sperling.
Good evening, boys and girls. My name is Mark Sperling. I am not a resident of the city. I am on the board of directors for the Frontier Days. To expand a little bit on what Terry said, you all know we have events coming up this year. Frontier Days, we haven't missed one in 100 years. The powwow, which we're trying to expand on and have more of, and then the wall that heals, Vietnam Wall. If we don't get an extension, you can write it all off. It's that able to use the property, and we're jumping through every hoop every person is thrown in front of us. Furthermore, I think that I'll get a little bit controversial. Council, you guys need to sit down possibly in a closed door session and consider some of the complaints that are happening in this city. And it directly involves the Frontier Days. We're jumping through every hoop possible. Anything that we could do more right now, if there is, one of the board members will tell me and I'll take it back to try to accelerate it anymore. We've hired the engineering firms, we're doing the testing, we're doing everything we can do. The map that shows wetlands has no rhyme or reason or logic to it whatsoever. If you guys would go on Michigan's dial, put the wetlands overlay, somebody in past jillion years threw something at it. The other thing you can do is go on to Google Maps and look at the 10 to 20 year history of that piece of property and start looking. You can see through the history of photos, I've done it, where the water really lays and runs. Okay, so I believe we're going to be able to use the majority of the property once this delineation is done. Why? The city needs it. For whatever reason, I don't think the city council needs to be the ones that put their foot in the door to stop the door and say, no, you can't do it. Let state lands, all of them, it's a pile of them. So back to what I started to say, I think you guys need to have a closed door meeting and discuss how some decisions are made in the town. And I'm just gonna hit on a little tiny highlight, and I apologize if I go over a minute, but inside your city limits, a couple years ago, a hog fuel pile started on fire. Spontaneous combustion happens, it burnt for months, we all know that. They showed up, no DEQ, no nobody, no nothing. Less than a year later, right across the street, a little tiny fire started and was put out within a day. Every official in the state showed up. One of your own council members was. You guys are all familiar. I believe you have an entity or a cancer in this town that's stirring the proverbial, I'll say poo-poo instead of the S word, making things hard. I know for a fact it's getting stirred for Frontier Days, and I'm getting tired of it. I'm not a city member, but my business is part of the city, and it's directly affecting Frontier Days and everybody else. And I think it's time to try to sweep the state. Because I think your council member got called in and complained about for something that he handled instantly for providing a service to this community. It is not a disposal site, it's a recycle. And if you go to any one of the dumps, they have a pile of metal, they have a pile of the transfer station dumps. You go into the lot landfill, they got a gigantic pile of metal. You go to Chancer, pile of metal, it's no different. It gets recycled. There's an entity in this community, and most of us already believe we know who it is. I know for a fact who stirred it up for Frontiers, for factual. But I believe there's an entity in this community that is tearing us down and not helping the progression towards betterment. Kind of off the subject, but if I'm gonna be here, I'm gonna stir it up. So you guys need to consider that. That little teeny tiny fire that happened at your council member's place was handled instantly, and yet, nothing but grief. So, off your laurels, approve our extension, please. And then hopefully by this time next year, we're all sitting here making plans because we believe we can have this done within a year. It's up to the engineers. We have everybody, but everybody involved. The engineers are the next step, and it's costing a fortune. We'd like you guys to give us enough time to finish spending the money and get the answer. And found none.
Thank you so much.
Somebody's phone's laying up here ringing.
That's our council.
Connie, are you still on? Thank you so much. So our next public comment is Russ Smith.
Cagle, and I'm here. As all I want you to do is please, every one of us,
be careful. Yeah.
No, I just destroyed them.
I've taken it, Russ.
Well, look at your roof. Don't destroy my stuff.
Okay, thank you so much for your public comments. We're going to address our consent agenda, which is the minutes of the regular session for January 22nd, 2020, council and staff reimbursements. Do we have a motion to accept them?
I hope we approve the consent agenda.
Second that motion.
All right, we have a first and a second on our consent agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, it looks like we're good there. All right, did we have somebody staff report for the 2020 census?
That was a person that called up and wanted to attend the meeting and talk about jobs, that they have a lot of jobs available, and I believe she never got back to us, so she is not here.
Thank you so much. So we'll move past that. We're going to address agenda number 9, which is a public hearing.
We can pause for a minute. We got to call our.
Okay. Hello, Tammy. We're about ready to discuss public hearing 02-TA-19. This is an ordinance 2020-05, amending the Lapine Development Code, amending the time, place, and manner restrictions, defining and clarifying the meaning of premises, revising the marijuana business location restrictions, and declaring an emergency. So I'm going to open the public hearing at this time. And do we have a staff report?
Yes, and I'm going to keep it really brief. This is a very basic amendment that's really just cleaning up the code. I believe you guys have discussed it in other areas as well, so it should be pretty straightforward. And that's why I'm calling in, just to save some budget to probably pretty quick items. So the staff report you do have as an exhibit to the ordinance. And there's really just one part of it I want to draw your attention to. It's on page 6. And while you're going there, I will just note that proper notice was provided by the city in newspaper and postings in the usual places. So on page 6, item B, it's just a quarter of the way down. When you have a text amendment, we need to find that either in the public interest with regard to community conditions or response to changes in the community, or it corrects a mistake or inconsistency in the plan or code. And in short, these proposed amendments really just clean up some inconsistencies that were in the code, either in the code and between the development code and the existing TPM ordinances that are on the books, as well as a little bit of inconsistency with some of the definitions at the state level. So this does exactly that, and the other criteria for the code amendments, well, the TPR, as I note in the staff report, doesn't really apply. It's not a quasi-judicial zone change, so we don't have to address those items. And the comp plan elements that do relate, which are very few, are addressed in your staff report. So staff finds that this is in compliance with all of the city codes and requirements. And if you want to just turn quickly to Exhibit B of the ordinance, that's where the amendments are held and proposed. And just in a quick summary, I won't read them all because I know you've all seen them several times, but in quick summary, it just adds reference to the additional PPM restriction ordinances that are existing already, so they're all inclusive. It cleans up a little bit of, provides more clarity, I should say, for the definition of premises, which was a little bit ambiguous before. And it notes that requirements in the code for premises need to comply with the restrictions that are in the TPM. So it really just closes the loop to make sure the code is communicating with the TPM. I know you guys have looked at this a lot. Really, this is just the land use piece of it. So I know you've probably looked at a number of TPM changes, and this just brings the land use along with it so that they are all matching. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to you unless you have any questions for me. Like I said, pretty straightforward cleanup.
Thank you so much. We don't have any testimony here at this point.
Yeah.
Do we have any public testimony at this point? I see nobody. So we're going to open public testimony on this subject. Okay, so I see none. Then there's no rebuttal. Are we going to deliberate on this? Do we have any comments on this? Connie, do you have any comments on this at all?
Other than I just...
Thank you so much.
Mike?
Nope, I read through this while my dog was eating my alarm.
Okay, perfect. So we're going to close our hearing. Do we have a proposed motion on this?
Your Honor, I move for the adoption of Ordinance 2020, clarifying the meaning of premises, revising and declaring an emergency.
I second the motion.
We have a first and second. We'll do this by roll call. Mike Shields?
Aye.
Connie Breeze?
Aye.
Don Greiner?
Aye.
Mike Harper?
Aye.
Okay, so we have 4 ayes and 0 nays, so we will amend this. Thank you so much.
Great, thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sammy.
Bye-bye.
Our next item is item number 10, the Frontier Days request for extension. Do we have someone that would like to speak on this?
Yes, and I'd like to take the opportunity. You always see me as the face of Frontier Days, and I'd like you to know that there's a wonderfully strong board on the association, and I'd like to introduce them all. So if our board members would stand. We're going to start with Dave Ott, who is our vice president and has been for some time, has been on the board for a very long time. Next to him is one of our newest board members, Terry Lee. And up front, you met Terry Meyer. She's been on the board for a few years. In the back, Bernie Brader, who has been on the board also for a few years. My cohort, Gerald Gaywith, who's been on the board for 20 years, about the same as I have. And Mark Sperling, who is also our very newest board member. So thank you for allowing me to introduce you to those guys. So. My name, of course, is Ann Hayworth, and as you have heard, we have been jumping through a lot of hoops, of course, to get this done. We've got the blessing of the Lapine Fire Department, the blessing of the Oregon State Forestry. We've made many, many contacts with the State Lands Office, as Terry Myers alluded to. We've had quite a roller coaster ride with them. We hired what is probably the best engineering firm in the Northwest for wetlands delineation, PBS Engineering. And they made their recommendation to the state saying that the delineation report that they prepared in the fall was sufficient for this land and its configuration. And the state disagreed.
and requested that they do a revisit in the spring. And then they have to adhere to the state lands criteria for doing a revisit, which means the ground has to be at least 40 degrees before they can go back in and do a study. And as you know, in Lapine, that could happen somewhere around August. So it became painfully clear that this delineation is probably not going to be done in time for Frontier Days, certainly not in time for us to make a timely application for an event permit. So what we are doing is asking the council to consider an extension of the conditional use permit application until this piece, this very important piece, is done, and to extend to us an additional event permit for this year. The other events that are coming, the wall doesn't come until October. We should certainly, it should be done by then, the delineation. The report from the engineer is essentially done with the exception of this revisit and then amending or finishing their report to the state. Then it does take, there's a time frame for the state. They estimate a minimum of 60 days that they have to review it, and then it's approved and can move forward at that point. So that's where we're at. And Frontier Days, you know, has been going for, officially since 1976, much longer if you look at all the anecdotal stories of Frontier Days of the past. This is certainly not the time to kick it to the curb because we're having to jump through all these. So we hope that you consider all of these things and allow for this extension. Any questions?
Yes, I have a question. Do you have a letter doing this work telling you that they can't do it, or that the...
Yes, I have. Well, I have an email from them. I have communicated with PBS Engineering, and they didn't write an official letter like to you, but this is, yes, yeah, I can copy you an email that says this is what they're having to do, yeah, to wait until spring because the state has asked them to do a revisit.
I think that the city, in my opinion, wants, you know, Frontier Days to be a success. It's only of a benefit to the city and the community as a whole. I think that at some point or another, possibly if you would forward that email, or if you could get a letter from your consulting engineer that provides some form of a timeline or, you know, progress, you know, report of what you're going through, then that would probably be very prudent for the city to have.
Okay, I can do that. Certainly the timeline depends on the ground, the frozen ground. We purchased a long ground thermometer that goes 20 inches into the ground, and it was under 40 degrees last I haven't looked at, because it's been covered with snow. It's probably accessible now, but it was below 40, you know, by the 1st of November. So as you know, I mean, it takes a long time for the ground to warm up here. Even in the middle of summer, I think the ground probably just stays in the 40s. Mike could probably speak to that, certainly. So that's, you know, that's what we're up against, is that kind of criteria. We're the only ones, well, we're probably not the only ones praying for an early spring, but hopefully we don't get that 3 feet of snow dumped on us at the end of February like we did last year.
How much of the wetland, the part that they think is the wetlands, how much?
Well, if we would...
For the
event itself? Well, the problem is, Mark alluded to, the overlay, wetlands overlay map that you see when you go to the dial or even to the National Wetlands Inventory was an arbitrary map that they laid over this area. And little by little, historically over the years, people have done these delineations, and the lines have moved because it was just a blanket overlay that they put down many, many years ago. So the upper port, we have been told by many informed sources. In fact, our own fire chief, he has a background in this sort of thing, and he's looked at the land, and he the portion that we want to use, which what we call the upper portion, the portion closest to Walker, is not wetlands by anybody's definition, but yet it is included in that boundary of that overlay. And so that's why we have to have the delineation done so that it can move further to the east. We anticipate that it'll move at the very least to the edge of what we're calling the grove, which is that area of trees in the center of the land. We would of course like to utilize that, which I'm learning a lot about wetlands. You can utilize wetlands. There's a lot of things you can do in the wetlands. Just because something's designated wetlands doesn't mean you can never touch, you know, stand in there or do anything. It's just that you utilize it properly, and you can even get permits to utilize it in a different way, much like we did with First Cycle Oregon. So that's not necessarily, doesn't stop you in your tracks. It just, you have to go through a different process to use it. But that whole upper piece should certainly come be out of the wetlands designation, and that's going to give us, what do we say, probably a good 15 acres or so that we can use for the event itself and other events.
I talked with David this morning for what, probably 10 or 15 minutes, wasn't it, Dave, on things?
Something like that.
And I gave him my opinion on it. And I told him quite frankly that I wasn't impressed last year because I had trouble walking on the land. I went on to tell him that I talked with people that had wheelchairs, I talked with people that had walkers, I talked with people that as old as I am and they walked on it, and everybody was very happy with it. And I told Dave right at that time that you didn't buy that property to satisfy me, you bought it to satisfy the community, and from what I have been able to find out, they're happy with it. I don't know who you're referring to about stirring up the problems around that, but I haven't seen anybody stirring it up any more than me asking questions. And I think that's just due diligence, asking questions what people think. That doesn't mean that I'm going to go along with my own personal opinion when somebody else or the majority feel that my opinion is wrong. And so I'm in favor of Frontier Days. I think they do a tremendous job for the community. And 89 years old, I can't do the same things that I used to do when I was 50 or 60 or 70. So that's my personal opinion.
Absolutely, we have great plans for what we could do with that water. They no longer send water down the canal because the person that bought the water rights to the south has stopped the water from coming down the canal. You know, that's something that could maybe be resolved in the past. We have the culvert that goes under 3rd Street, and I'm not sure who's in charge of maintaining that, but there's actually two culverts under 3rd Street that are, the one's almost totally blocked and another one pretty much blocked, and that's what's caused a lot of the backup of water in recent years, and that what you're seeing is seepage. It's the water just coming down because it's a low spot. It's not the water. It's not water coming down a canal anymore. It hasn't for years. But that needs to be cleaned. We hope to get in there and do it ourselves. But that's an ongoing maintenance. Who's in charge of culverts, you know, under 3rd Street? I don't know.
Well, you can't say so, there's not water still coming down because water runs.
Well, yeah, right. But you don't see it. You don't see it coming from
but it is coming down.
Gordy's
down through there. And the person to talk to is Teresa Clift.
Okay.
Handles
that. Teresa.
Yeah. So talk with her. She's the one I've dealt with before with cleaning that whole irrigation. Okay. See what we can do, if we can make some kind of arrangements.
I think contact with the state's federal department too, because I would think that's under their jurisdiction.
Yeah, absolutely, that's what's gonna get it done. That's the key, I agree.
Okay, so I just have one comment. I do agree with Mark Sperling. At some point or another, I don't know if I wanna blame any one person or anything, but the community as a whole probably has had its own questions about the Frontier Days and how they get things done out there and stuff, because I know that I've been confronted with who allowed them to put in driveways? How did they get electrical permits? You know, I mean, just on and on. So I do agree that, you know, there's questions. And I think that if you were to take and get us, you know, like a letter from your consulting engineer or whoever that's kind of has something that we can take and say that, you know, where they are working from their consulting engineer. You know, everyone's covered and life evolves and we can get this over with for everyone's well-being.
Well, and also if you guys help pass the word that everything, we have done everything above board. We applied for permits for the driveways and we got it. We applied for electric permits. We had an electrical contractor do the work. And I mean, everything has been above board.
Right, but make assumptions that like the city is in charge of the driveways and the city's in charge of the electric. And that's not the way it works. So that's why I'm saying if we had something that we could say, you know, they're doing the very best that they can, you know, it's governmental bureaucracy is what they're kind of up against, you know.
And the reason Frontier Days gets things done is because of people like Gerald who just won't be stopped. And we just see ourselves as moving forward and getting it done because we truly believe in it, as I think most of you know.
Well, you've done a lot of improvements on the property.
Already, yeah, I'm pleased with what we've done. Despite, and we would have done more, Don, had there not been that person that has been the bottom of all of this uproar. There was calls made to DEQ and the state lands from the get-go about the chips and some of those things that we put down. And there would have been more improvement had that not happened. And you probably wouldn't have had the problems that you had.
It's like I said, the people that I talked to were happy. And so if they were happy, who am I to object? Now that's my personal opinion because I'm here because people elected me. I'm supposed to represent my own personal views. So thank you.
Connie, do you have any comments on this situation?
Yes, I'd just like to say.
Okay, so do I take that, Connie, that this is a motion to extend their date upon receiving a letter from the PBS people that has a kind of progress report and their version of a timeline, or exactly what are you saying?
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
All right, we have a first and a second to extend the Frontier Days permitting process. All those in favor?
Mr. Mayor, before you vote, we have a comment over here that's never had a chance to comment.
Yeah, sorry, you just looked at me and I didn't realize you were asking. Yeah, I would agree fully that we should definitely allow this to go through. Just the documentation, just so we have our tails covered. The event was wonderful last year. I loved it being down there. You were also kind of hit with a deluge of rain there.
Yeah,
that definitely didn't help. So, and still people got around pretty well. People worked so hard to get something together and a short things ready. So thank you. And
I call for the question.
Okay, do we have all those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, so it looks like I'm receiving a letter. You're good to go.
Okay. Thank you so much, all of you.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate the Frontier Day, I assure you.
And everybody coming in here to represent.
It's nice to know who's on the board. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I hope you guys get paid more than we do. So now we're going to move on to item number 11, which is an RFP for our transportation SDC. Do we have a report on this?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'll be glad to give you that report.
Thank you so much, Mr. Obers.
Somebody doesn't call me Nightmare, right? Let me give a little background first for everybody that's in the audience, just so we can get a little bit of understanding of what a street SDC is. The City of Lapine Street Fund has continued to be supported by large transfers from the general fund. The city envisions taking on more duties associated with streets in the future, and demands on our budget have been extremely noticeable. After many discussions during council work sessions to create the needed funding for our future, council agreed to pursue a transportation system development charge, SDC. A system development charge is a one-time fee imposed on new development at the time of development. The charge is intended to recover a fair share of the cost of system capacity needed to serve growth. System development charges provide a means for growth to pay for growth. SDCs are only acquired through new development or a significant change in development. Our current budget for fiscal year 2019 and 20 reflects $50,000 in contracted services to pay for a street funding mechanism. In order to create a transportation SDC, the city must develop a capital improvement program, a CIP, to identify projects intended to maintain or improve the performance of the multimodal transportation system. Creating a transportation SDC and a CIP is crucial for the future of a street department in the city of Lapine. Presented to you is an RFP for services to hire a consultant to achieve these two elements. And I've included that RFP, a request for proposal, to look at an SDC, specifically a methodology that they could present to us to acquire SDCs in the future for development, and to identify a CIP list, to identify those projects, current streets, and the needs to develop that SDC. If you've looked over that RFP, I'd be glad to answer specific questions about it. If approved tonight, we'll go out for solicitation next month and get that process rolling tomorrow. She just said tomorrow. So I've been through the process in the past. About 3 years ago, we adopted new SDC methodology for our water and our sewer SDCs. This would be a similar project, but we don't have a street SDC to start with, so it'd be a little bit more legwork involved with that, creating that new SDC and identifying those capital projects that really reflect into that CIP. Remember, these charges aren't on current customers, they're charges for new developers coming into town or a developer looking to redevelop a lot, add more use to it. Okay. So that's written into the RFP. There's public discussion, there's times where they got to come to council work sessions and talk with us, and it's described in that RFP.
Okay.
Yep.
I had to speak.
Mm-hmm. Stories.
Okay.
I think it identifies how many meetings we're going to make them come to and talk with us.
Yes. Do you have any questions?
Just the comment, the street department going.
All right, thank you. Don Greiner?
I agree with Connie.
Mike Harper?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. I mean, we really need to city now, so we need to take responsibility.
Not just roads, it's sidewalks, it's bicycle, it's the whole nine yards.
Multimodal.
Like that word I put in there?
Okay, so do we have a motion?
I move the city of Lapine approve the attached RFP, a request for a proposal for a transportation system methodology and creation of capital.
Second that motion.
Thank you so much. We have a first and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, looks like we're going to try and get our multimodal going.
If you have any questions afterwards, don't hesitate to ask me. Eric's present tonight, too. He was very helpful in creating this RFP. I twisted his arm a lot trying to get the right information to stick into that document.
Thank you so much, Eric. All right, so our next thing is... We have a DEQ Clean Water Revolving Fund loan that we're going to speak about. Do we have a staff report?
Yes, you do. Presented to you again as the highlights of it. So this is financing through DEQ. Two different forms. Interim, which is construction financing during the project, and then it rolls into long-term financing. Both of these are done through DEQ, our state agency. The first loan, the interim loan, is a 1.1% interest for, I'm sorry, that's the second one. It's 1.1 interest for a 30-year term, which is very reasonable. And actually these numbers have they've crept down a little bit, and we locked it in at what we thought was going to be the lowest. So that's why we're bringing it to you now. These two loans are extremely nice to have through DEQ. The second one is roughly $7.8 million at 0.69% interest. So these are great interest numbers. This allows us to start our construction process this year, 2020. We look to start on our wastewater improvements at the wastewater treatment plant in the form of a septic receiving station, another lagoon for storage, and two new pivots for discharge. That'll be our first phase one of the projects. So if you have any questions about this, this is just merely a formality so we can roll and start that loan process. We'll send this off to DEQ, and when ready for those funds, we'll start acquiring them.
And this just talks about the initial $1 million loan. It doesn't talk about their...
They're both in there.
They're both, right. Yeah. I see.
It's a required piece that we have to do for the banking part of it, for DEQ. That's important.
Is this the first step in the...
It's the first step in the Kegel project, but we're starting at the wastewater treatment plant first.
So probably go over
phase... Yeah, so phase one of the projects will be improvements to the wastewater treatment plant. Like I said, those two, three items up there. Phase two is going to be improvements to our water system, like the Butter Water Site, a new reservoir, upgrades to those pumps, and the building of that new transmission line coming down and serving the north end. Phase three would be bringing those utilities into Kegel and Glenwood areas. Yep. Answer questions from the last time about if redesigning the septic tanks had a major impact on the project. It doesn't look like it does, but it looks like we can start phases of those projects sooner. So we're happy that that's the result.
I know there's something.
I'll point out that the first loan offered is the amount of $1 million at 1.1% interest for a 30-year term. If the city completes the project as scoped, this loan will be awarded 50% principal forgiveness or $500,000, whichever is less, depending on the final loan amount. So that's basically like a grant, $500,000 grant.
Nice. Connie, do you have any questions about this? Mike Shields?
No.
Mike Harper?
No.
Don Greiner?
Nope. Necessary.
Do we have a motion to entertain resolution number 2020-01?
I'll move that we approve resolution to acquire these loans.
Number 2020-01. Okay, so we have a first and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right, looks like we'll entertain this resolution. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Our next thing is the Lapine Station final construction drawings. Do we have a staff report?
Mr. Mayor, this is exciting part, so we left it for the last of the meeting. We are to the point now where we have final concept and final civil drawings done for the Lapine Station. We're excited to get this going. This is the last step before we go out to bid, so what we're asking tonight is your approval, and then we're going to go out to bid. So just a few things changes since you last saw it, I want to make you aware of. All the streetscape on Huntington and down the little bit of 4th Street where the proposed future building would go, we removed all that from the project in order to, if you'll see now, there's expanded parking all the way out to Huntington. So we got 36 parking spaces instead of the 14. So as a key part of this, we're excited because that's going to give us the bulk of our parking in the phase one. We removed the seat walls on the west side of 4th Street because we weren't sure how the new building or new improvements would go at that point, and we didn't want to put them in and then have to tear them out depending on logistics of building and utilities on that. And that also helped fund the parking, the extra parking. We have expanded a little bit the food cart eating area. So there's a little bit more delineation in pavement or pavers or some type of cement there that for people to eat and hang out. And then I know a big portion of the original concept had the flags on part of the seawalls. What I didn't realize, and I don't know if you did, I thought they were actually like big post flags like the ones you see out here in our monument area. They were not. They were just the little celebration flags like we put out for Frontier Days or Memorial Day. And so what we felt was we're already gonna have those brand new flags along 97 already, and it just would look redundant and wasn't necessary and clutter. So we took those out. The last thing is, we were, as a team, we were talking about trying to figure out how to make this memorable, how to make this a really a piece in our community that stands out, that's something that when people stop, it's not just another rest stop. It's not somewhere they just pull over, go to the bathroom, and it looks like every other rest stop in Central Oregon, or that it, and although we love our Cascadian style, you know, it is popular right now and everybody's doing it. And so we came up with the idea that we, you know, we have this refinement plan going on because we have this ag-grade train crossing. We named this piece of land the Lapine Station. The community did that. I mean, this was not a council decision, this was a community decision. And so we wanted to embrace that. And what we're doing is we're incorporating a very light, very minimal theme, a train theme, just kind of elements that are real subtle, but yet is memorable to people. When they come, they'll say, oh, let's stop at that train place, or that plane, you know, the train area, or where that in Lapine. So it just gives it that little twist that's unique to us. And so we're very excited about that. So what you see in your concept drawing is there's some tracks laid out. So like the food cart area, they'll be on tracks. There's some tracks along the walking areas. We have a good lead on how to get some track. We also have some leads on some railroad pieces that we can incorporate, again, just kind of very lightly. So we're excited. I think that's really gonna put us on the map, make people remember it. It embraces the fact that, you know, we're trying to run from this whole train thing, but yet maybe not. There it is. Let's embrace it. We got Wickiup Junction and Lapine Station. So Eric's here. Eric's worked really hard. He's the engineer that's worked on these drawings, and he can answer any questions also. And he might have something to add, I don't know. But I think he's just as excited, and we want to get going with this and start groundbreaking this summer, this spring.
I will add something to that too. We sat down a couple weeks ago with the consultants, and there was a lot of good energy in the room. We come up with some of these ideas for the theme of a railroad theme, and everybody got excited, and the consultants got excited, and this is going to be a nice project. I can tell that from the get-go. That was a very productive session we had in 2.5 hours that we were sitting there. It was probably the fastest 2.5 hours I've had in a meeting in a long time, because it was an enjoyable meeting.
So I guess what we're asking tonight is for your blessing and just a motion to approve these drawings to go out for bid with final construction drawings.
And there still will be like all our public art that'll be there somewhere?
Yep, we still have the art wall. That's probably going to have what we're thinking is some kind of train elements on it. What that is, we're not sure yet what pieces we're looking at or what we're going to do, but yeah. There's still the art wall. Lapine Station will be a sign. And I don't quite know. You're asking me questions now. It was a fast 2.5 minutes. But anyway,
it's the same font as the sign.
Same font. And then we're looking at it'll be lit. And so it'll say Lapine Station. So, but Cascadian throughout also. So.
Is there any provision for a flagpole, a regular flagpole like we have?
Yeah, and I've already thought of that. I think there's plenty of places in there for it. I think as part of this project, we really just didn't, there's not one there, but I think when we're done, I think there'll be a place we can stick a pole. We also have the future area for the future building, and I think at that point, there'll be a place for it. Yeah, there'll be a nice place to do flags. Yeah. Yeah, so I think we'll leave that for phase two, and we'll have plenty of flags for our celebrations.
Perfect.
Anything? I feel like you drove here for us.
Let's see. We got everything worked out. All the stormwater is taken up. Water and sewer is addressed.
No wetland there, right?
No wetland.
Okay.
I'm bringing this out so you can pass it around so you can kind of see what we're
looking
at.
Yeah, it's my fault. I told Eric not to worry about big drawings right now. I want to wait. I know. Sorry.
But actually, that big swale that's on site right now, the pond, is a spot where we're going to utilize to put snow removal into.
I was glad to see more parking spots too.
Yeah, I like the really idea that we were able to extend the parking. That's a great thing. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah, it's hard to leave your car and take a bus.
So with that, we just
I move the city council approve the final concept.
Wait, hold it, I have one big beef.
We still need to find out if Connie or somebody has comments.
And Eric, this is directed at you, basically. We're showing that thing at 96 inches deep?
The dry well?
Dry well, yeah.
Correct, yeah. Oh, sure, yeah.
When you dig down through this pumice, if you get water that is drained into this area, what does get down there is, everybody's doing this, they're digging down through that, DEQ digs down through here, for test holes, creating our natural barrier, don't want to destroy the water that we have here.
Definitely, and I should point out that the catch basins in the stormwater collection system go first to a, what's called sedimentation manhole, and that, so basins have sumps in them, so things out come out of your car will settle in there. Then they go into a sedimentation dry well, because of high water table, we want to make sure that we don't cause any issues with.
Stay above that barrier. Here in a subdivision a few years ago, where we wanted to dig a nice pond on his own lot, when we keep everything up above that.
What would you think of one cone section and one barrel section?
It varies the depth of this pumice.
Right.
When you dig down into that pump here,
we can
for
do that.
Absorption. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That happened.
Thank you.
Specification. Okay.
So that's an 8 foot well right now, correct?
Typically, you're only going to be down there about 5 feet.
5 feet, 5 or 6 is what I was thinking.
Six is.
Just depending on where you're at.
Yeah, 6 is pushing it.
We can come up with something to make that
work. We'll leave the engineer to the.
Some digging around and like that swale. That swale is like 10 foot. But they broke through that layer.
Right. Yeah, and that's just going on all over the place. It's not good. The swales, if you need to make them bigger like that, and even the same way, pull that good soil out, go down a little bit bigger if you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do that. Well, it's unfortunate we are actually not supposed to take water to put in the ODOT swale. So we have to have our own.
And see, I'd rather it doesn't go in that.
All right.
I already breached that.
Only ODOT rain goes in there anyway.
That's
right.
Don't worry about that.
Start on
okay, Connie, do you have any questions?
No specific.
Thank you so much. Does anybody else have any questions here? Okay, are we going to entertain a motion? Do we have a proposed motion for this?
The city council approved the final concept and civil drawings for Lapine Station.
We have a first and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Tony?
I said aye.
Oh, didn't hear you. Thank you. Those opposed? All right, so we have 4 ayes, and looks like we're going to finally get it started. Thank you so very much. So now we have no additional matters that we brought up from number 4. Are there any additional public comments? Please state your name.
Mark. I'm still out of city limits.
Thanks so much.
It's
for the recording.
I appreciate the fact that you guys might come up with an idea. Let's talk to Teresa. Maybe we could look at this, look at that, but I'm here to tell you people, I've been in 2 meetings with state lands, and everything you guys have mentioned, cleaning the ditch, I mention it, they say no. They'll just stand there flat-footed, look us in the eye, and without using the words, they say.
Well, that's where we have to get enough people.
Exactly. I want to applaud you guys for being on our side. Stood there one day and told me, great big meeting, we had midstate, we had a lot of people in there. And they said, I said, what exactly is defined as cause and effect on a cubic yard of dirt? And they said, you standing on it is an effect. They are that serious about their crap. So, you're right, I was two cubic yards. So, the same complaint we've heard about, called them up and raised Cain about 600 tents for an event that you permitted. And I've never seen an event walk out of here as fast and as clean as Cycle Oriented. But there was a complaint that came to us. What's that tent city doing there? And it was, everybody knew about it, okay? That didn't do anything for town. That didn't bring any, every store in town sold out. Every motel was sold out because of the rain. We hauled luggage clear to the valley to help people out. It was amazing what that one, I'd like to do Cycle Oregon every year. So just so you know, we are running up against some stone walls. Okay, that's all I had. And thank you guys for agreeing to get on board. We really appreciate it. So we'll get you the evidence you need and we'll move forward. Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Okay, are there any other public comments? Okay, we're gonna close the public comments. Melissa, do we have staff comments?
We do, really quick. Your next meeting of February 28th, I believe, I don't have the calendar, is going to be a workshop. We're gonna put a few things in front of you and just discuss and, 26, sorry, your next meeting is 26. And so look forward to that. We'll have a workshop. And then just for your information, the mayor knows, I think Mike knows, we've been sending out a couple of code enforcement letters starting that for signage again. So if you get angry calls, now you know why. Back me up.
The workshop's gonna be at 5:30 still? Or it's not early like executive session?
No, it should be at the same time.
Correct.
Yeah. And then also for the, I don't know how to pronounce it, AYA, the AYA collection for the private viewing, sorry folks, you guys get at the Bend Historic Museum. We're gonna leave City Hall at 9. There's enough people, we need two cars, so somebody does have to drive their car and then we'll take this pool vehicle. So we need to be here at 9.
My wife and I will drive if I have to make other stops.
Okay, and then we can go in the pool vehicle on the 14th. And then lastly, just a huge thank you. This was it didn't seem like it, but this was a heavy meeting with heavy agenda items. You had some strong decisions to make about the future of the city with the RFP and the interim loan stuff. And I just wanna thank you because I don't take that lightly and I don't think you did either. But I'm really excited about this next year with the city and what's happening. And I think these decisions are actually helping us to move forward and do what we need to do. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Jake? I just wanted to give praise to one of my employees that just received a water distribution operator's license. So that's always nice to have some operators on staff. Very proud of that individual and looking forward to others doing the same. That's all I have.
Tracy?
The only thing that I wanted to mention is a reminder of the LOC conference coming.
The spring one?
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm not going to attend. I think I sent it out an email to all of you and I didn't get any response, so yeah.
Did you hear that, Connie? You can get in touch with Tracy if you want to go to the LOC conference.
It's a spring, like one day or two.
It's in Hermiston and it's one day, yes.
Not be attending that one.
Okay. Okay. We just want to make sure you knew. All right. Do we have any council comments?
I have a comment for Russ. If the holes are still retaining water or if it's frozen, you know, because it's the wrong direction, it doesn't get the sunlight all day. And so, but I've got a lot of experience.
Well, I guess it's all.
That's not my call.
Yeah, well, we're looking at it. I talked to somebody on the phone.
It's soup right now.
Yeah. Cable's not forgotten. We know it's out there, and we are looking at the budget to see. We only get budgeted for snow removal and gravel, so we're hoping to do some of that this year, but Jake and I are talking about it already. So
just the right time to do it is the thing.
We'll figure it out.
There is no right time to do it. I mean, when you get stuck out there, you'll find out when it's right.
I'm just talking about gravel. If I put gravel up there right now, it's not going to do any good. Is this going to go away?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
I have never seen gravel put out on schedule or on Kegel.
No, we did budget.
Well, guess what, Russ?
I've only been here 14
I'm
years.
Only gonna
so
do,
I don't know.
I'm only going to do a couple roads this year, but we did budget for some gravel.
Yep.
It was gravel, wasn't it?
There was gravel put on Cagle just a few years ago.
Connie, do you have any comments?
I do not, thank you.
Mike Harper?
This was a deep session, but I'm glad we're getting these things started. Mike's input's always invaluable on constructively. And I'm excited to see that sidewalk get started on Finley Butte. I'm walking, and they all had mud on their feet, and we're carrying over a pile of snow down through there. So excited we're still working on all that. And this new design.
Just to reiterate on the sidewalk project, we received a $100,000 grant from ODOT to construct a sidewalk on the south side of Finley Butte between Parks and Rec and Preble Road. So I'd like to kick that off this year. We've been talking to property owners, getting that figured out.
Passed around a little bit of that design. By show of hands, how many of you like it? Doesn't? That's good. Thank you. That shows us that we're on the right track. Right?
Ooh, nice pun. Might use that.
Okay, and I just merely would like to thank the Frontier Days board and everybody that showed up and voiced their opinions, because that's how community governance works. You express your opinion, and hopefully we can work it into making our community better for everybody. And other than that, I think it was a great meeting, and thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Hi, Donnie.
That was Don.